Great. Can I see who's excited tonight? Great. Some people there, here at the back. Great. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. I am super excited because I'm sharing on something that's super exciting. I'm going to share tonight on hearing the voice of God. It's one of my favorite things to share on. It's one of the most precious things in my life, and I'm sure to many of you, it's one of the most precious things to hear the voice of God. Amen? To hear Him speak to us. So who wants to hear God's voice? Put up your hand. Great. Some excited people. It's wonderful to see. The Bible says often, a couple of times in Hebrews, and right throughout Scriptures, it says, God says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. So all of us, we put up our hands, we say we want to hear the voice of God. We're going to talk about how do you hear the voice of God. It's not a 10-step plan. I can't tell you, you know, do this, do that, do this, and then you're going to manipulate God and He's going to speak to you. Doesn't work like that. But we're going to look at what are the principles. How do we position and align ourselves to hear the Word of God, of God's voice? Not just, you know, every now and then, but every day, because God wants to speak to us every day. But I want to say, and especially if you're an old believer, if you've been following God, I want to say especially to you, I want to share this message tonight. The Lord just said to me that He wants to speak specifically to people that are sort of used to the voice of God. And there's actually a bit of a danger connected to being used to the Word of God or the voice of God, Him speaking into your life, where there's a place, as Scripture encourages us, where we open up our hearts, where God speaks to us, and we don't harden, but we surrender and we say, Lord, we wanna hear your voice. We wanna hear what you're saying to us. And I wanna ask you two questions, and two questions in the Word that you can see from those people that really knew God, that really followed God and heard God. They responded yes on both these questions. And the first question is, and this I want to ask you to ask yourself tonight, is do you tremble at God's Word? That is the first question. When you hear God's Word, what is the response in your heart? Is it, okay, I heard the Word, okay, let's move on and we'll get back to it, you know? Or do you tremble when you hear God's Word? That's the first question. The second question is the voice of God, like Solomon says, it's as sweet as honey. In other words, it's precious to you. In other words, it's the most precious to you. But I want to ask you, and specifically if you've been following God for a long time, what is your heart's response? Not necessarily your mind, but your heart. How does your heart respond? Is it the most amazing? Because just stop for a moment, think about it. The God of the universe takes out the time to speak to little me. Isn't that amazing? Eh? Shouldn't our responses be like, you know, going crazy because this is amazing, the God of the universe is speaking to me. Is there any amens around here? You guys agree? Okay, so it's amazing. We want to hear God's voice. We want to walk in His ways. But we must ask and align ourselves and our hearts. Because sometimes, and that's why I'm speaking specifically to old Christians, throughout your walk with God, there's temptations to harden your heart towards His voice. To say, okay, but it's cool, and but this is also important. You know, and this is also important, but let's check our responses to the voice of God. The first thing I want to say, and there's two sides of the coins, but the first thing I want to say is, it's the most natural thing for a Christian, for a believer, to hear the voice of God. Did you know that? Jesus said, His sheep hear His voice. Okay, we're going to read that scripture now. We're going to look at the context of the scripture. But it's the most natural thing. Now, I want to ask you quickly a question. Who's been tempted before? Okay. Pretty much everyone. I don't think anyone can say that they haven't been tempted. What does it mean? It means that you heard the voice of the tempter, the enemy. That's not God. God says, the Bible says, He doesn't tempt us. God does not tempt us. He maybe He gives us tests. He tests us so that we can progress to the next level. But God never tempts us. Okay. But the enemy tempts us. And if you've listened to the voice of the tempter, it means that he's spoken to you. You know, and it's not like we do something, you know, and you know, we've involved with heavy sin, or you know, we make a little fire and we dance around the fire, and you know, then we hear the voice of the tempter. Okay, some of us might have been involved with stuff with that. If you are, I'm going to pray for you tonight. But we don't do things like that. But still, we hear the voice of the tempter. Okay? But it's the same. It's just as natural for us to hear the voice of God if we're part of His fold and if we're children of Him, if we've given surrendered our lives. It's just as easy to hear the voice of God. But this is the difference. The enemy, the tempter, speaks to our flesh and the soul part of our being. In other words, our mind, our emotions, whereas God speaks to our spirit. Okay, the Bible says all throughout, build up your spirit. Strengthen your spirit and live life from the spirit. Do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay, but fulfill the desires of the spirit. God wants us, when we come to Him, to reign and rule from our spirits. And not to live life from our emotions or feelings or desires of the flesh. He wants us to live life from Him, His Spirit, this Spirit. Okay, so there's three parts that we consist of: soul, flesh, and spirit. Okay, now, this is the thing. If your flesh is strong, in other words, you spend a lot of time on the fleshly area, in other words, you indulge in things that your flesh needs, that means your flesh and your soul is strong, means that you'll hear the voice of the tempter clearly, versus on the other side, if you do like Jude says, you build up your spirit, and your spirit is strong, you know, you're going to hear God's voice. The difference is, God's voice is a still, small voice, and we're going to talk about that just now. But it's the most natural thing for believers to hear His voice. And on the other side of the coin, I want to say, this is one of the things that's probably been the most abused in the church in the past couple of years, where people abuse this fact that God speaks to us as individuals. We're going to talk now, if you look at the context of what Jesus says, where He says His sheep hear His voice, the very context in which He speaks is in the context of community. It's in the context of the body of Christ. When He speaks about it, He speaks about His sheep hear His voice. He speaks about the fact that He's a shepherd. God is a, when He speaks from the context that He's the shepherd that wants to lead us and guide us in His ways. And there's been so much abuse. I've actually just heard the week of a lady that said she heard God say that she must stay with her boyfriend that she's not married to. That's what she heard from God. And obviously, we know that's not God. And the other thing we're going to talk about is the fear of God when we talk about hearing God's voice. Because I often hear people say, but God said this to me and God said that. And then we throw the name of God around, you know, that He said this. And then it's never fulfilled. It never happens. Do you know what? In the Old Testament, if a prophet prophesied in the name of God, he said, this is what God is saying, this will happen. And if it does not happen, what happened? He was a false prophet and he was stoned right then and there. If he said, this is what God is saying. And how often in the modern church, or maybe more specifically in the charismatic Pentecostal churches, do we say, God says this to me and God says that to me? You know, but I believe that there's a fear of God that needs to come back, where we respect the fact that He speaks to us. And we're gonna come back to that. But let's not abuse the fact that God speaks to us. Let's not abuse the wonderful privilege, because it's really amazing, and I do want to focus on the positive side. Because it's amazing that God wants to be intimately involved in every aspect and sphere of your life. Not just when you come to church and it's now Sunday and it's, you know, you're in your spiritual side of your life, but in every place of your life, in your social life, God wants to be involved. He wants to speak to you regarding things. In your relationships, in your workplace, in your studies, wherever you are, God wants to be involved in every aspect. He's not a distant father, but He's a father that is close. He wants to be involved in and share with us. And that's why we need to open up ourselves to that place and open up our hearts. And as the word says, not harden our hearts, but instead listen to His voice. Let's read John chapter 10, verse 25 to 27. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bears witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock." Okay, so He's talking about the community here. You're not part of the fold of my fold. In the very next scripture, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's one of the most amazing things when God speaks to His sheep. Because He wants to direct His sheep. He wants to nourish His sheep. And that's why He speaks to His sheep. You know, the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. I always love what people say, what happens in the Middle East when one of the sheep stray off. What happens? The shepherd goes and he breaks the leg of the sheep. He takes the sheep, puts it on his shoulder, and then for the next week, he walks around with that little sheep that got lost on his shoulder, and then he gets to learn the voice of the shepherd. So finally, when his leg is right and he's part of the fold again, he knows the voice of the shepherd. And to me, I remember probably the first time that I heard God was when I got baptized. And mostly, for most of us, you know, the first times or the first period that we hear God's voice is generally through people. It's generally not, sometimes it is through the Word, sometimes because there's various ways of hearing God's voice. But to most of us, it's generally through the people that are around us. But it's so important, we're going to talk about this right at the end, that when we've heard the voice of God through our peers and our brothers and sisters that care for us and that we fellowship with, that we don't stay there. That we move on to a place where we hear the voice of God through His Word. Because that, I believe, is the primary way that God speaks to every believer. Okay, God speaks in many ways. We're not limiting God. God speaks through visions, through dreams, through prophecies, through people. He speaks through His Word. That's why we must get the Word in. We're going to talk about that in a second. And the first point, the three principles I want to look at. The first principle is simply what the Scripture calls as inclining our ear. Inclining our ear to the voice of God. And this is very important because I've already touched on some of it. But the flesh, there's many voices that speak to us. You know, and God always speaks. God is, you know, constantly. It's not difficult, as I said, to hear His voice. And it's not like you need to fast for a month or wait for a month before He speaks quite a lot. And what I also want to say, I said it this morning as well, but God is not emotionally unstable. Did you know that? Okay, some of us, maybe that's, you know, it's good news because some of us are maybe not as emotionally stable. So the great news is God is emotionally stable. So God is not a God that some, you know, this day He's angry, next tomorrow He's excited, and then He's angry again. God isn't, He's not like that. You know, the Bible says God is emotional. I don't know, God has emotions. I don't know if you realize that some people think that God doesn't have emotions, but He does. Okay, but the Bible says that God is slow to anger, abounding in love. Okay, in other words, God You know, his emotions doesn't switch around like an abusive father. Okay, so a father of a son with a father that is abusive, it's a terrible situation because the son never knows what the father's mood is going to be like. This day he's angry, then he's, you know, excited, then he goes through this emotion. God is not like that. God is constant. You know, and yes, God does get angry. We can see that in the Old Testament. And God gets angry, you don't want to be on his wrong side. But he's abounding in love. He's a good father. Okay, but it's important that we come to a place where we silence the other voices. The voices that speak to us so loudly that we cannot actually, to some of us, and this is for some specific people here tonight, I felt that there's so many voices that are sharing to you that it's just the voice of God is quenched completely. It's like it doesn't even feature because there's so many other desires, fleshy desires mostly, but also the voice of the enemy that speaks to us that we must actually quiet and just say, Lord, I want to hear what your voice is. Let's quickly look at the different voices speaking. The first one is the voice of the flesh. When the Bible speaks about the flesh, it includes the soul. It includes the emotions and the will, our will, and our mind. You know, whereas, as I said earlier, we must live life from the Spirit. When our spirit is made alive. So the soul, that's why David says, be still my soul. Okay, he understands that he must quiet his soul. If he can quiet his soul, then he can come to a place where he can hear God. So that is one of the first things. You must quiet the soul and quiet the desires of the flesh. And here it's very interesting to understand because the heart is part of the soul area. But I want to specifically talk about the heart. Because the Bible says that, in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah in fact, it says that the heart is deceitful above everything. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's exactly what the scripture says. So sometimes, and I've missed God and missed things before where I've sort of listened to my heart, and then obviously there's a difference when our hearts align. But I'm specifically talking about our emotions. Okay, where I sort of, you know, said, but you know, my heart was right, and I followed my heart, sort of justified what I did. You know, but the Bible says the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? So that's a place where we surrender our hearts to God, where we surrender ourselves and say, Lord, but I need you. I need your direction. I need the voice of the shepherd. And something very interesting that we see in the book of Ezekiel, where God talks about the prophets of the Old Testament, and he says to the nation of Israel, He says, woe to your prophets, what you do is you prophesy according to the desires and the idols of the people in their hearts. Okay? So he's angry with the prophets. He says, why do you prophesy according to their hearts? It wasn't my will that you prophesied. It was the desire towards the desire in their hearts. So in other words, God is saying that the supernatural gift, the gift of prophecy, can actually access something that's in your heart. Let me give you an example. If I've got an idol in my life, I like, let's say, Harley Davidson's. For argument's sake, I don't like Harley Davidson's. It's just an example. But say I have this idol in my heart. I love Harley Davidson's. Everything in my life revolves around Harley Davidson's. And remember, idol, the definition of an idol today for us is anything that features in our hearts above God. In any way, in a priority, if you would rather spend time with, a relationship can also be an idol, if you would rather spend time with a specific person when God is calling you to spend time with him, that classifies as an idol before God. God doesn't want idols in our hearts, and we're going to talk about that just now. But say my idol is Harley Davidson. So everything revolves, I save up money for this Harley Davidson, and this becomes so big to me, you know, that it consumes my thoughts, and, you know, I'd do everything to get this Harley, and I would rather, you know, drive a Harley or do things than focus on the things that God has called me to do. Now, this scripture implies that when a prophet comes to me, that he can actually, by a supernatural gift, be able to see what is in my heart. And this is very important. I'm not going to speak too much about prophecy because this is a teaching with prophecy, but you'll see now where it applies. But that this prophet prophesying can actually pick up the desire in my heart. And he can say, I see that, say, for instance, God wants to give you a Harley. He can pick that up supernaturally from your spirit. That's exactly what the scripture in Ezekiel says, is God, the prophets prophesy according to the idols in our hearts. It's that place where God sometimes gives us over to the idols of our hearts. And it's the same when we talk about hearing the voice of God. Sometimes God will even give us over to the idols of our hearts. In other words, you'll pray about something and you'll hear exactly what you want to, but it was never God. It can even be supernatural, but it wasn't God. Okay, that's why God says, the first commandment that He gives us, He says, have no idol before me. Okay, God always, when He tells us, He commands us something to do, it's for a very good reason. You know, most often we don't see the reason why God says something to us, but you can always know God is a Father. He's always got the best. He's always got the best in mind for us. You know, then He's going to say something to us that is good, and even if it doesn't seem to us, that's why God says He hates idols in our hearts. Anything that competes with Him. Therefore, we must surrender our hearts and surrender idols that leads us away. The second voice that speaks to us is the voices of enticement. There's two ways that the enemy speaks to us or tries to deceive us or tries to take us away from God's presence. The first one is through deception. If he cannot get it right to deceive us, he tempts us. Okay? He tries to get us into deception. If he cannot do that, it goes over to tempting us. And I don't want to go too much into that. But those are the voices that speak. But God has given us authority in Christ. When you get baptized, you step into the authority of Christ. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that's a place where the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. Resist the voices of temptation and deception. So it's a place where we come to a place in our lives where we say we've had enough of these temptations. But now we're going to stand against these. Now we're going to resist what the enemy wants to bring across our paths. You know, because often and too often, we just become just a little bit tolerant of the enemy's temptations. We're not going to fall for it. We're just going to silently allow it. And that is a very dangerous place to be because we're allowing the voices of the tempter. And unfortunately, unless you stop those voices, it's just going to become louder and louder. You must resist the enemy. Resist those voices. The third way, the Bible says, or third voices that we can hear, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but it's angelic voices. Throughout Scripture, you see angels are very real. Okay, even with Jesus, and just going back, Jesus, when he went into the desert, he was tempted three times. The devil tempted him. Every time the devil tempted him, the voice of the devil came, and he came in the form of a question. He questions the voice of God. Right from the start, that has been how the devil has spoken. The first word he said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, did God really say? Okay, so in hearing God's voice, you must remember often, and even most times, when God says something to you, it will be followed by the enemy, saying, did God really say that? Is it really written in God's word that he will do this and that? Okay, but even with Jesus, it says that when he went out of the desert, angels came and they ministered to him. And we often miss that part of scripture. But angels are very involved. And I want to do a teaching on angels. But angels can also speak to us. The Bible says, in fact, that there are two types of angels. Or three types, actually. But two types that sort of feature on earth is warring angels and ministering angels. If you want to know more about angels, come to intercession. Yana will speak there about angels. And then obviously the fourth voice, and this is the most important one, is where God comes to speak to us. His still small voice, where Elijah says, God is not in the storm, he's not in the fire, he's not in the whirlwind, but he's the still small voice. And that sometimes we need to quiet the other voices and come to a place where we hear his voice. And, you know, some of the most precious times in my life is when I heard the voice of God and I obeyed. We're going to look at that as the next step now. But I remember, and I was just a believer, God, I felt God said, I must go on missions. It was a couple of years ago. And I remember it was a big challenge to me because, and I share this often, but I had lots of fear. You know, I had fear I couldn't speak in front of people. I had fear to share the gospel. I couldn't even pray in front of people, but I just knew that this is what God was saying to me. And I stood on His voice and on His word. And I eventually trusted for God to provide the finances. God did supply, and I went on this mission. And I remember I had to share my testimony, and it was very, very nerve-wracking for me. But I knew that was what God called me to. And there's such a confidence that comes when we hear the voice of God. When we know this is what God has called us to. This is what He requires of me. There's no confusion. The Bible says we can know what the good and perfect will of God is. You don't need to be confused. You can know it. And I remember I knew that God had wanted me on that mission. And I remember we went out door to door, knocking on houses and just sharing the gospel with people. I remember to the one door, we knocked on the house and the lady shouted from inside. She said, come in. He thought it's a bit strange, you know, why doesn't she come to the door, open up the door? But in any case, so we went in. She sat on the couch. We went to sit with her. We started sharing the gospel. We just, engaged her for a second. And then we started sharing why we're walking around, sharing the gospel. We shared the gospel. She was absolutely so open. It was amazing. She had never heard a proper representation of the gospel. So we went and we started sharing, and she was so hungry and so open. And so we led her to the Lord, and then we told her about the Holy Spirit. We prayed about the Holy Spirit. And afterwards, I just felt the still small voice of God saying, but now pray for her. And I remember I said to her, but you know, listen, I just want to be obedient to you. I don't know what it is, you know, but I just felt that I want to pray for you. Is that fine? Can I just pray for you after now? We've shared all this with you. And she said, no, I can pray for her. And I remember seeing there were a couple of other people also in the house, and we were obviously just sitting with this lady. And as I prayed, because I said, I don't know what to pray, let's just pray. So I just prayed in the Spirit, and I saw, as we prayed a couple of seconds, I saw just a simple picture of a leg breaking. It's a very simple picture, just a leg breaking. And as I said, I saw other people in the house. So I said, I stopped the prayer, and I said, listen, lady, is there someone in this house whose leg is broken? And then she lifted up her skirt, and she showed us that her leg is broken. And we didn't know it. We couldn't see it because she was sitting on the couch the whole time. And she had a long skirt, so we couldn't possibly know. So I said, okay, but, and obviously God is saying something here to us. He wouldn't say something to us and not perform it. He will not say, you know, He wants to heal you if He's not going to do it. So we laid our hands. She said she had this her leg was broken, and it was this constant thing that it couldn't get healed. It was just painful all the time. So we laid hands on her leg, and we started praying, and we prayed and we commanded healing. So we asked her afterwards, how does it feel? She said, no, it doesn't feel different. But we believe that God, did something there, because He wouldn't speak and not perform His word. So we invited her to church that Sunday, and that Sunday she came to church, and her leg was completely, perfectly healed. God had come and He touched her and healed her. And you can say to that woman, God is not real, God does not speak, she won't believe you. Because she heard it, and she experienced it. God is powerful, God is real. And that is the voice of God. And Christianity cannot be separated from the supernatural. You cannot have a Christianity without this God intervening. The whole makeup of Christianity is centered around the fact that God comes to visit us. God comes to send His beloved Son. Jesus comes into this world that is foreign to Him. He comes and He comes to live with us, amongst us. And He comes to speak to us. Jesus says that it's better for you to go, for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. That is the first principle. The second principle is what the Bible refers to as amend your way. The first one was incline your ear. The second one is amend your way. In other words, put it very simply, to be obedient. Okay, now we've heard the voice, and this is often where we, especially as old believers, get it wrong. Because we're so used to hearing the voice of God, we've sort of become complacent. It happens often. God in His mercy speaks to us a lot. And then it sort of becomes normal to us. And that is what I'm saying is a very dangerous place to be. And the voice of God just becomes normal to you. But where we must constantly ask ourselves, how obedient am I? Am I implicitly obedient? Or am I in a pattern, in a bad pattern? We're going to pray for that tonight. Some of you are in bad patterns where you hear the voice of God, but you just extend it. You say, okay, but I'll get to that a bit later. I'll get to it a bit later. But not where we implicitly obey the voice of God. I want to ask the question again. Do you tremble at His word? Is His voice precious to you? So I always think about it in terms of this picture. God is always moving. Jesus is always moving. He's taking His sheep and He's constantly going to new places. He's taking the church. He's learning us new things and taking us to different pastures. He's leading His sheep from this one pasture to the next. And that's one of the things that's exciting for me about the church so far, is the fact that we often change things. I don't know if you've realized. But in Shofar, we like change. And it's actually a great thing. It's a good thing because we're constantly being challenged by the fact that we must move with the shepherd. And that is a good thing. So if you don't like change, you must begin to like change. Because God is constantly moving. And I'm not talking in a negative way. I'm talking in a healthy way where God leads us through times and seasons. And I often think of the voice of God in this way. The disciples, Jesus was standing there, His disciples were there, and He called the disciples. He went up to them and He just said a simple word. He said, follow Me, and then He would walk away. Then it was up to those guys. I don't know, we don't know, it doesn't say in Scripture, if He called other people, but they actually didn't follow Him. In fact, it does say that some did not follow Him. Okay, so He would go up to people and say, follow Me. In other words, they would hear His voice. And then he would go. And so if you, Peter, and you're busy with your, catching fish, and you hear, and you're confident in life about this thing that you're doing, it's your career, it's something that you're good at, and you're busy with your fish, and Jesus speaks to you the voice, what must you do? You must amend your way. You must change what you are doing. Leave this and go on and follow Him. Because if you don't follow Him, Jesus is walking, He's moving. What happens if He's moving? He's getting further and further away from you. And if you don't respond, what happens? What happens to his voice? It becomes more unclear and more unclear and more unclear until you make a decision to say, Jesus, I'm going to obey, and you go behind Jesus. Then the closer you come to him, the more you hear his voice. I just love that analogy because it's so how God works. He's moving. God is moving in your life, in the church. He's busy moving. He's taking us places. And we must never get stuck behind in the ways of our ways, in the ways that we want to do things. If you're Peter, busy with the fishing, then you know often God would even test us. Remember, God doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. He would give us something to do, and it's a legitimate thing to do, but then he would say, follow me. And he would move on. And it's up to us to say, I'm following you, Lord. I'm going after what you have, and I want to follow you and do your ways. I want to be obedient to the call that you have on my life. So it's important for us to be obedient, to mend our ways. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 16. 13-16 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none, and they obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. And I have also sent to you all my servant the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil ways, amend your doings. Okay, we already saw incline your ear, but now he's saying, amend your doings. And do not go other gods to serve them. As we spoke about idolatry and the idols of our hearts earlier. Do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. So, what happens in this story is there's the sons of Rechab. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, and their father, we call them the Rechabites. The scripture calls them the Rechabites. Their father told them that they mustn't drink any alcohol, and furthermore, they're not allowed to live in houses, built houses. They're only allowed to dwell in tents. So scripture doesn't tell us whether the father actually gave them a reason why they shouldn't do these things. The scripture only says that these sons of Rechab, they were obedient to their father. Okay, they obeyed. The father commanded and they did obey. Even in times of war, when it was difficult, when I think it was the Assyrians came to attack the Israelites, these sons of Rechab still stayed faithful to the commandment of their father. So God here, through the prophet of Jeremiah, he says he's upset with the people of Israel because they're not obeying their voice. But here are the sons of Rechab, and they faithfully obeying the voice of their father. So God says he honors that. He honors and he blesses the fact that these sons obey their father. And look what he says in verse 19. He says, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jehonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Isn't that amazing? How God blesses these group of people purely because they listened to their father. They obeyed their father. And therefore, God takes it very seriously. In fact, it says that you will not enter into the promised land. You will not enter into the place of a healthy place of the good pastures unless we come to a place where we amend our doings, change our ways, to follow Jesus, to follow Him, to follow God, to follow our Father. And that is the second principle. And the third principle, before we're going to pray tonight, is what I call becoming. To become is growth. Remember I said at the start that when we look at the context of where Jesus is speaking, He's speaking in the context of His sheep. In verse 16, just before He says, my sheep hear my voice, He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Okay? So there's a place where we become part of the fold of God. We're going to talk about how do we become. In this specific scripture, it talks about the fact that there's different folds. What Jesus is specifically saying is there's the Jewish sheep and there's the Gentile sheep. And he's calling now the Gentile sheep into one fold. But he's got one fold where he wants to lead and direct his sheep. And yes, like the sons of Rechab, they had a father, they had an earthly father, and they were obedient to their earthly fathers. God honored that. And for us, of course, there's earthly fathers and earthly shepherds. But ultimately, and this is the exciting thing, is God wants to be our chief shepherd. Wants to be the one that directs us and leads us and guides us. And therefore, it's so important that we understand community. I said earlier that for most of us, we begin to hear and learn the voice of God in community. Where God speaks to us through people. You know, whether they intentionally speak God's word or maybe unintentionally. You know, God speaks through His people. But what is really important is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It's, we always quote 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. Just before that, God speaks about the body of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. But one day, we will know in full. So the very way that God speaks to us, He's built in the body principle. In other words, He says that yes, He speaks to us as individuals and it's very precious to us, but we must always remember that when we hear God's voice, we're still limited to only a part of the picture. You've got one part and someone's got another part and another person has another part. And together, all these parts make up the full picture. We call it the whole counsel of God. That's why when we do prophecy in church, we'll get everyone to come up to share, and then we'll see where God is speaking, and God will many times build upon a picture, and then we'll see what He's saying to us. So in the very nature that God speaks to us, He speaks to us in community, in the community of believers. So, once again, when I said at the start that some people, you know, abuse this very fact, and often you'll find people that they say, no, God speaks to me. I'm very intimate with Jesus. So I don't need the church because God speaks to me. I've got the Holy Spirit. He speaks to me. And that couldn't be further from the truth because God speaks in community. He speaks to His sheep. His sheep hear His voice. So whenever you see someone that is outside of the church, they say they don't need to be in the church. They can do it on their own because they hear God's voice. They deceived, unfortunately, because God speaks in the church, in community. Community is so important. You cannot separate community from the voice of God. Then, secondly, the Word of God. I spoke about it earlier, but God will never contradict. His voice will never contradict the written Word of God. Okay, that is very clear. Example I used earlier, God says commands us not to be fornicators. In fact, he gives a very harsh judgment of fornicators. Unless a fornicator turns to God, there's a harsh judgment upon such a person. So if you say, God said to me, I must stay with my boyfriend whom I'm not married with, then you are contradicting the written Word of God. God will never say that. Okay, so that is the most simple. There's actually a couple of tests. I can't go through all of them. How you can just go and simply test what God is saying. But that's why it's important that when we begin to learn the voice of God, when we're growing, we may be new to the voice of God, that we do this in community. And in our small groups, we say, you know, I believe God is saying this to me. What do you witness with this? Do you think this is actually something that God is saying to me? And oftentimes people will come in here and if they love you, they care for you, they will agree if it is really God. But I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in, in something that is not authentic. I'm interested in the authentic Word of God. When God speaks it, it happens. When God says something, it's supernatural. And, you know, I'm not interested in these words that, you know, God is going to do amazing things, but then it's not God. I don't know about you, but I want the authentic Word of God, the real Word of God. That's why it's important that we study the Word of God. We get in, we eat the Word of God, we read, we constantly take out the time to fill ourselves daily. Because to me, if I just look at my life and when God speaks to me, He reminds me of the Word. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come and He will remind you of the things that Jesus has said. So it's important that we read the Word of God. It's very quiet in here tonight. The next point, I mentioned it a bit earlier. The principle that is important in growing, in becoming part of His fold, is to understand the fear of the Lord. And to grow in the fear of the Lord. And I want to make this very clear. Because I don't want us to come under fear. Where we're now scared to say, no, but God said this to me. But what I really believe that what God wants to bring us to a place of where we're really confident. We grow, we're so confident that we're part of His fold, and we're so in this line that we know this is really God speaking to me. And then we can get excited and we can really share it and say, but wow, this is what God has spoken to me. You know, but the difference that I understand from Scripture between, so there's a difference between the fear of being afraid of God and the fear of God. Okay? Moses had the fear of God, and that fear compelled him to run into the presence of God, to run up the mountain, to say, God, I want to be in your presence. I'm not going anywhere without your presence because I fear you. That is the fear of the God. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is with the fear of God. It's a healthy fear of God that is lacking in the church that we must embrace as believers and say, yes, I want to hear God's voice, but I want to fear your name. I'm not going to go around abusing the name of Jesus, saying, God said this to me, God said that. But I'm going to reverently fear God. And the other side, being afraid of God, the Israelites were afraid of God on the mountain. God came in His glory. He was on the mountain. He invited people to come into His presence. And what happened? The Israelites were afraid of God and they ran away from His presence. So again, we've got the fear of God. Let's just run towards God. Being afraid of God, let's just run away from Him. Let's embrace the fear of God. So we run to Him instead of away from Him. Then the two last points before we're going to pray tonight. And the band, if they can come up so long. What is really important in hearing the voice of God is actually, I'm going to say it, it's very obvious, but listening. I know it's very obvious, but how often do we actually go and sit and listen? I'm going to ask this question directly tonight. How often do you come and you take out an hour and you say, God, I'm going to listen to you now? Well, how often do we come to God and we've got this prayer list, we've got an agenda, Lord, I'm struggling through this, I'm struggling through that. Lord, I need you in this, and I've got this need at work, and emotionally I'm struggling because this and this is happening. But you know what? God is a good shepherd. And He leads His flock. And He brings them into green pastures. And He brings them to streams of living waters. He brings them to that place. In other words, if you come to a place in your walk with God where you are proactively listening to the voice of the shepherd, guess what? You won't always be in a place where you have to recover. Recovery mode. There's too many believers that are constantly in recovery mode. They're always coming to God because there's a need. And we must come out of this need-driven Christianity where we walk with the shepherd. We hear His voice. So it's important that we take our time, quiet every other voice, close the door, and just spend time with the shepherd. Say, Lord, I'm going to listen now. I'm not even going to pray. I'm not even going to intercede. I'll do that later. But you know what? If you just take out that time to hear God's voice, you're going to pray so much more effectively. You're going to be so much more effective in the kingdom. If you just get this discipline right, and to some of you, I'm going to pray now. You've come to a place where you're used to the voice of God. And I believe that God wants to challenge you tonight, and He wants to bring you back to a place where His voice is the most precious thing in your life. It moves you. And even moves you to tears, because maybe sound a bit funny, but if you think about it, the awesome God takes out the time to speak to me. And that should move you to tears. Even every time, because God is involved with you. I want to ask you those two questions again. Is God's voice as sweet as honey to you? Do you tremble at His word? We're going to pray just now. I want to also say, if you're growing and you want to learn, and maybe tonight you're going to respond and say yes, and we're going to pray for that just now. If you're responding in your heart to this word and you say, Lord, I want to come back. I want to bring my heart to You. I want to encourage you to actually come to intercession. Because that's the place where we practically learn the voice of God. You know, not only does Scripture say it's more blessed to give than to receive, so you're not praying for yourself, you're praying for someone else. But it's so blessed when you begin to pray and God begins to share you His heart for His church, for His fold. And you hear His voice, and right next to you stands someone and they begin to pray exactly what you heard from God. That is where you grow confidence in hearing His voice, in knowing His name. So can I ask us all to stand? We're going to pray now. Before we're going to pray, just for God to change our hearts. For those of us that are maybe old believers and we've become used to the voice of God, we're going to pray now and surrender our hearts. But before we do that, I'm just going to give over to Manus, and he's just going to pray for us.
And before we do that, I just want all the saints to just, everybody just bow down and their heads down. And just pray in the Spirit. God just reminded me the day I got saved. It's about 11 years ago now. I was just in a church service and God just spoke to me through the whole service. I didn't hear what the pastor said or nothing, but God just said to me, I want to love You and I want Your heart. Tonight I was just reminded in Romans 8 it says that the love of God was poured out into our love. So what will separate us from the love of God? Tribulation or hardship or any such thing, nothing will separate us from the love of God. And I just feel like there's maybe somebody here tonight that God is just speaking to you. My grandma says He speaks to us, and it might be the first time you feel God speaking to you. Might be the first time God has unctioned your heart. And he's just saying, I want to come and pour out my love into your heart. I want to come and save you. I want to come and do a new thing in your life. And I just want to say, it's not going to be the easiest walk. It's not going to be the best thing in a worldly term, but it's going to be the best thing for you in eternal terms. And the love of God is just going to overshadow all the hard things you can go through. I would say the last 10 years has not always been the easiest, but God's love has been just amazing. It's kept me hearing His voice. It's kept me in a place where I don't want to be anywhere else, even in the hard times, even in the peculiar times. It's really been amazing to me. So just while everybody is just praying, I just want to make an invite tonight. God has been talking to you through this service, and you've just realized there is actually a higher being. There's been a God that's just been speaking to me through Raina. I just want to invite you to just come to the front. Is there anybody like that? Just lift your hand and just come to the front. Just make a bold move. Because God wants to deal with you tonight. He's got business to do with you. I just want to invite you to just come to the front. Just be bold. It's not the easiest thing, but God wants to pour His love into your heart. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing. That love is not going to separate you from Him. Nothing will separate you from that love. Nothing on this earth.